Please take your Bibles and turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 25. Jeremiah chapter 25 and reading the first 17 verses. The word that came to Jeremiah concerning all the people of Judah in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, son of Josiah, king of Judah. That was the first year of king of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, which Jeremiah the prophet spoke to all the people of Judah and to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, from the 13th year of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah, even to this day, these 23 years, the word of the Lord has come to me, and I have spoken to you again and again, but you have not listened. And the Lord has sent to you all his servants, the prophets, again and again, but you have not listened, nor inclined your ear to hear, saying, turn now every one from his evil way and from the evil of your deeds, and dwell on the land which the Lord has given to you and your forefathers forever and ever, and do not go after other gods to serve them and to worship them, and do not provoke me to anger with the works of your hands, and I will do you no harm. Yet you have not listened to me, declares the Lord, in order that you might provoke me to anger with the work of your hands to your own harm. Therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, because you have not obeyed my words, behold, I will send and take all the families of the north, declares the Lord, and I will send to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, my servant, and will bring them against this land and against its inhabitants and against all these nations round about. And I will utterly destroy them and make them a horror and a hissing and an everlasting desolation. Moreover, I will take from them the voice of joy and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride, the sound of the millstones, and the light of the lamp. This whole land will be a desolation and a horror, and these nations will serve the king of Babylon 70 years. Then it will be, when 70 years are completed, I will punish the king of Babylon and that nation, declares the Lord, for their iniquity, and the land of the Chaldeans, and I will make it an everlasting desolation. I will bring upon that land all my words which I have pronounced against it, all that is written in this book which Jeremiah the prophet has prophesied against all the nations. For many nations and great kings will make slaves of them, even them, and I will recompense them according to their deeds and according to the work of their hands. For thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, says to me, take this cup of the wine of wrath from my hand, and cause all the nations to whom I send you to drink it. They will drink and stagger and go mad because of the sword that I will send among them. Then I took the cup from the Lord's hand and made all the nations to whom the Lord sent me drink it. The Apostle Paul in Romans tells us that the wages of sin is death. Here we have Jeremiah coming to the people once again and declaring that death had been decreed to them. To many of them, the sword would fall and it would actually be physical death. To others, it would be the death of all of their hopes and dreams for themselves and for their posterity in being driven out of the land. Death. It was payday. The wages were due, and God never misses his appointed payday. From 1927 to 1960, Dr. Reverend Robert G. Lee was the pastor of a great Baptist church in Memphis. But along with his ministry there, he also was an itinerant evangelist. And he had one sermon that became perhaps the best-known single sermon of the 20th century, and its title was Payday Someday. payday someday. It was preached probably over 1,200 times, that one sermon. It was the account of Naboth's vineyard and how that the wicked King Ahab, abetted and encouraged by his even more wicked Queen Jezebel, went and took from Naboth that vineyard that he refused to sell to the king, and how that Elijah came and spoke to the king of all his wicked deeds. Payday, someday, Elijah said it was coming to him, and certainly it did come upon the wicked king and queen. But here, years later, we have another prophet of the Lord coming and speaking in similar territory to another people of payday that was coming. But it was not payday someday down the way, but God was saying, payday is coming, and it's coming mighty quick and mighty soon. Jeremiah had been speaking to the people for 23 years, he writes. And he speaks to them, you have not listened. Think of the pain of appealing to someone or to a group of people, pleading with them, pouring your heart out to them, and for there to be absolutely no response. The prophet Isaiah had been promised a similar word when he had asked, Lord, how long? He had been told, you are to continue to do this until the land is utterly devastated. Continue to share, to proclaim, to sound forth my word. Jeremiah had been faithful in his task. He had proclaimed God's word to the people. But there was rising in his heart not only the frustration, but the heartbreak as well, as God speaks through him again and again. 23 years, the word of the Lord had come to him, but the final word is, you have not listened. But not only had God sent Jeremiah, but God had also, we read in verse 4, had sent all his servants, the prophets. Now, through these major prophets and minor prophets, former and latter prophets, we come up against false prophets as well. Those who most certainly did not speak in the name of the Lord, but God had his own, and he had spoken through them. He had sounded out his warnings. But not only had Jeremiah's word been ignored, not only had the word through this particular man been ignored, but Jeremiah says, the Lord has sent you all his servants. They weren't great men. They had no acclamations of their own. They were God's servants. They had been sent time after time after time. They had fulfilled their task. But just as Jeremiah had been set aside, so they also had been as deaf to these other prophets. They would not listen. They would not hear the appeal and the entreaty. So what to be done? What to be done? You have not listened, declares the Lord, verse 7, in order that you might provoke me. God says, payday is coming. I wanted it to be a rich reward. I wanted a people who would delight in my ways, who would eagerly run to me. But you are not those who have obeyed my word. So verse 9, we find an amazing thing declared. God says, I will send to the north. I will take the families of the north, and Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, will come. But please note that just as God has spoken of Jeremiah and of these other true prophets of the Lord as God's servants, We read here an amazing thing in verse 9 that God calls Nebuchadnezzar my servant. God says Nebuchadnezzar will bring against this land and against its inhabitants and against all these nations round about utter destruction, horror, hissing, and everlasting desolation. Now to the Jews, to the Israelites, this was an amazing thing. They thought, how in the world could God take someone so wicked and so vile as the likes of Nebuchadnezzar to punish us? Surely here is a hole in Jeremiah's argument. It can't be. It won't be. It shall not be. Surely God, who is holy, righteous, and just, will hesitate to lay his hand upon something so vile as Nebuchadnezzar, that braggy, arrogant, proud king. But God uses who he chooses. And Nebuchadnezzar was as much God's servant under God's hand as Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, or any of the other prophets. God was saying, he has not bowed the knee to me. He has not honored me as he rightly ought to honor me, but yet he is my servant to effect what I please in this world. And so God says, I will send and take that servant of mine to do my bidding. But then the answer is given also in verse 12. To the hesitation, the question, when 70 years are completed, I will punish the king of Babylon and that nation. You see, their iniquity was not going to escape God's notice. God was going to deal with them in like manner, but judgment starts at the house of the Lord, and God needed to do some cleaning. And so he was going to start with his own covenant people. Oh, let that be a warning to us. Let us guard our ways. Let us watch our words. Let us walk humbly before our God in all of our doings and in all of our comings and goings. Judgment starts with the house of the Lord. And God was saying, I need to clean up Jerusalem, that place where I have placed my name, for their iniquity has risen up most especially before me. But God was saying, lest you think that I am deaf or I'm blind or that I am becoming a doting old fool. No, I will judge them, those Chaldeans, those Babylonians also. But we have here also mentioned a time frame that is given. And this time frame of 70 years here prophesied by Jeremiah, you later find it picked up by Daniel as the years have worn on and the old man Daniel is thinking, Lord, how long shall it be? I remember that prophecy which that good and godly man Jeremiah sounded out, that you would set aside your people from the land for 70 years. And Daniel prays and he implores the Lord. He brings it before him. That's just what we have done this morning in praying. Lord, you said that you would build your church. Oh God, our prayer is that you would do exactly what you had said you would do. So Daniel, as he came before the Lord, he was remembering the word of God. And he was saying, Lord, what you said you would do, you have done in removing your people. But you also said 70 years. Now, Lord, I want to hold you to your word, the word that you delight to honor, the word which you are watching over. Jeremiah chapter 1. 70 years. You see, God had said to the people that 6 years they were to plant the ground. And on the seventh year, it was to be a Sabbath year of rest to the Lord. there was to be this cycle in the week, and there was to be this cycle in the seven-year process of the agrarian economy. God had said, in the sixth year, the land will produce so bountifully that you will have enough to eat, that sixth and seventh, and even until the harvest of what will be the eighth or the first year of a new seven-year cycle. But the people had set that aside, and they had ignored what God had said He would do for them, and they had continued to plow. And so God said, all right, the land for 490 years, for 70 sets of seven-year cycles, the land has not been allowed its rest. I will remove you from my land that the land might have its rest, and I will take you away for your iniquity, and then you will return. These nations will serve the king of Babylon 70 years. But you see, above the hand of the mighty king of Babylon, there would be a far greater hand that would bring judgment upon Babylon itself, arrogant and proud. Verse 15, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, take this cup of the wine of wrath from my hand and cause all the nations to whom I send you to drink it. God wasn't just concerned about Judah and Jerusalem, and not just about the instrument that he was going to use so mightily, Babylon and the Chaldeans. He was concerned about all peoples everywhere. It's amazing that the disciples in the Gospels and that the early church were amazed that God had a concern for His word, His gospel, to be spread throughout, to not just Jew, but to Gentiles. It's an amazing thing that we were so slow to understand that God desires that all people come to know His great salvation. Because if they do not know His salvation, they shall know His punishment and His wrath. So Jeremiah was appointed not just to a few people there in Jerusalem and there in the center of Judah, but it was a message far and wide to be declared. God says they will drink and stagger and go mad because of the sword that I send among them. And Jeremiah adds the note, I took the cup from the Lord's hand and made all the nations to whom the Lord sent me to drink it. In a few moments' time, we are going to gather here as we do on the first Sunday of each month at the Lord's table. Thank God that He took what we deserved. We gather here for the broken bread and for the cup, that we might remember what Christ did on Calvary for you, and for me. He was the one who took that cup from God's hand that was engraved with your name on it. It was a cup of wrath, especially prepared for your destruction. But Jesus said, I will take that. Out of my love for those men and women, I will drink that completely. And so we remember what Christ did for you and for me, that God's hand might not fall upon you, but that you might know light and life and blessing. And so we give Him thanks. 23 years. Numerous voices raised to point the people to the way of the Lord, but they did not listen. Are we prepared to listen today that we might know not the heavy hand of God worked through perhaps strange avenues, but that we might know His blessing?